Good day, friends. It's good to be with you again on this broadcast. And for the next quarter hour, we're dealing once again with a look at the Word of God. You know, I want to say before we get into the broadcast today and before we enter into another wonderful look at the Word of God, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to pray. This is our prayer as we offer it truly in the name of Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, we come into thy sanctified presence at this time with glad hearts, understanding that Christians can pray along with us now, truly calling upon thee as their Father. We're mindful, Father, of the great opportunity we have of sounding the gospel forth. We're glad for brethren who stand behind the proclamation of this marvelous truth, and we trust that it may receive full endorsement of thee, coming up before thee as a sweet-smelling savor. We pray for those who are sick, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and we pray for our government, including governments of the world, that men may understand that thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. On this broadcast, we pray, Father, for those who hear the marvelous truth of thy word. We're glad for the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. It was a terrible death, but there was a terrible stain upon man's soul, and this was the stain remover, as men received with meekness the engrafted word that was able to save their soul, and they're still doing that. And we trust, Father, as we sound this gospel forth today, that there may be those who will do that. Help us now, Father, as we do look into thy word, and as once again we find an interesting conversation. May God bless us as we obey the marvelous truth. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, we're going to take a look here now at what the apostles actually had to say about Jesus. You know, I often try to visualize in my mind what it must have been like back there in the first century. These men who started following Jesus, who realized that he was a true champion, they couldn't understand how anyone could take him, but that happened. And finally, they woke up to the reality that he died upon the cross, he was buried, and after he arose again, the first chapter of Acts tells us that he was seen with them for a span of 40 days. He was teaching those things regarding the kingdom for that impending future that was before them. And then Jesus went to heaven. They saw him ascend through the clouds, and they heard the man say to them in Acts 1 and 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you to heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They had been told by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They had also been told by Christ before he went to heaven to teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, you see, when they were together, I am sure there was a great fellowship there. It was a wonderful period of time to be together, but the time came when they were really put to the test. And in the third chapter of Acts, the healing of the lame man is mentioned there at the beautiful gate of the temple. And it would seem now that there is a great triumph for the Lord, that souls are going to be won to Christ because they realize the teaching that's being offered by these men comes from a divine source. And finally, the opposition raises its, we might say, strong head against the apostles. And they're apprehended. First it is Peter and John in chapter 4. Then it's the entire apostle body in chapter 5 of Acts. But let's go here now to the fourth chapter of Acts. And if you want to follow us with your Bible, we're going to begin in verse 13. We'll give you time to find that place. Simply letting you know as we bring this broadcast to you each week, we have a desire for you and your entire family. We do not solicit funds on the air. This is sponsored by the Church of Christ. And these brethren indeed want to be your friend. We trust you want to be their friend, that we can all be friends of God. Well, here's the 13th verse, the fourth chapter of Acts. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," now I don't want to leave the impression that these men didn't know anything, "but they were men from Galilee, they were not brought up in the temple schools, and the people who were talking to them here as the leaders of the Israelite people, these individuals recognized that they were not of their cult. They were not the individuals who had been brought up in those temple schools, and so they considered them to be unlearned and ignorant men. But they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What a wonderful knowledge that is. What a wonderful reflection. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. See, this man had no faith that he was going to be healed. He thought Peter and John were going to give him money at the beautiful gate of the temple. And you remember Peter said in that third chapter, along with John, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And immediately he arose, his ankle bones received strength, and he walked, leaped, and praised God into the temple. Well, they couldn't say anything against this because everybody knew this man had been there at the beautiful gate for a long time. But they wondered how this thing might spread. Now listen to the 15th verse. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves." Now here's a meeting of the brain trusters in Israel, and we're going to see what kind of people, for the most part at least, they were. Saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, as manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." The 17th verse, the political approach. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Now I want to say, as they came to the conclusion that they were going to threaten them, try to scare them. You see, if the religion of Jesus Christ, or what these apostles were preaching, friends, was built upon prejudice, then this might have worked. But it was built upon conviction. These men knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They had listened to his teaching. They realized he came forth from the dead. They saw him go to heaven, the clouds receiving him out of their sight. They heard that wonderful pronouncement that we opened the broadcast with today, that he would come again. And then they received the Holy Spirit, were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They knew they could talk in different tongues or different languages, not because they had learned them, but because God had made this possible and they were to carry the gospel to the whole world. So you may threaten people like this, but you're not going to get to first base because of their conviction. Well, they called them in verse 18, "and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Now, how would you deal with this? You know, I wonder a lot of times when I read this how I would deal with this. But let's notice how these champions for the cause of Christ dealt with it. Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Then here's verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You see, an apostle of Jesus Christ had to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, they were witnesses of things he did before his resurrection. So the point is that these apostles knew that these things had happened. They knew that they were offering the truth. And they said, "We can but speak the things that we've seen and heard." So how does this affect you and how does this affect me? When you read the Bible, you're reading about men who had their lives threatened. You're reading about men in the face of great pressure and tension, and we might say opposition, that simply said, "We can but speak the things that we've seen and heard." This proves conclusively that the wonderful teaching of the Bible is valid. For these men performed wonderful works to confirm the words that they spoke. Now let's get this picture in proper focus. You see, there was no copy of the New Testament at this time when these men went out to preach. That's why they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why they were able to speak in different tongues, even though they'd never studied them in school. When the gospel was completed, then we find people could take the Bible and they could confirm the teaching that was offered by what the Word said, and that's what we do today. But before that perfect law of liberty had come and was complete, then the only way that the apostles could prove that their teaching was authentic, that it was of God, that it was of Jesus Christ, was to perform a miracle. Isn't that the very thing that is offered here by Jesus before he goes to heaven? I'm turning now to the famous teaching that's found in the 16th chapter of Mark, and I know a number of you have read this and have thrilled at the great boldness, the great teaching that was offered here by Jesus Christ. This is where he said in the 15th verse, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Then the 17th verse of that 16th chapter of Mark says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now here's what they were able to do, at least in part of the list.
In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, there's a list of at least some of the things they were able to do. Now, why is this for? What is this for? Listen to the 19th verse. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Verse 20, the last verse of Mark's account of the gospel. Mark 16:20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now the word is confirmed today by giving you chapter and verse. For instance, if you want to know what to do to be saved, and if you're not saved from your past sins, we simply tell you to go to the Word of God. We can point out that people heard the word, they were told to believe it, to repent of their sins, to confess their faith in Christ, and follow that with baptism into Christ Jesus. So aren't you thrilled today as you listen that these men did speak the things that they seen and heard? They were, of course, loosed, later put in prison. Most of them eventually died the death at the hand of their oppressors. But may you keep this thought in mind, that these men were children of God. These men were apostles of Jesus Christ. They gave us a wonderful gospel that is able to make us free from sin, free to live for him here, and to continue on to that realm beyond the river. It's a wonderful thought. Look at again at this outstanding fourth chapter of Acts. Read it, thrill at its teaching, and if you're not a Christian, obey it. May we say, friends, if you're listening to this broadcast today and have questions, feel free to send them in. Listen to the time of services of the Church of Christ congregation that brings you this broadcast. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as we take another look at the Word of God.